Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I want to talk a little bit about half of the world and where our crazy and weird political situation is taking us right this moment. Because we have this interesting dichotomy in America where literally half of the country thinks the other half is completely insane. How does it get this way? And what is the foundational underpinning behind this? Now, I'm not a massively political person, but obviously I tend to vote more on the right-leaning side than the left-leaning side, because as much as I have attempted to give every Democratic position as much possibility to vote for, every one of them wants to abort babies, which the Bible is very clear. A baby is a human being and we cannot just kill people. They tend to want to take all of your money and use it for enrichment programs. They tend to want to keep people out of jail because they think that jail's just this problematic thing. And there's some fundamental issues. Where do they come to some of these ideas? It's not entirely insane. And that's what I want to point to. But when you look at the circumstances surrounding the scripture and human responsibility, what is important for us is to understand that the we have to understand the approach from a direction of compassion. There's that old statement that if you are young and you're not a Democrat, you have no heart. And if you are old and you're not a Republican, you have no brain. Where does this come from and how does all this tie in? The problem is, ultimately, the party of the left tends to want to produce a counterfeit religion. You see, they want to decry Christianity, which fundamental Christianity is about responsibility. It is about love. It is about compassion. But where responsibility and love and compassion exist, it's not just to bail people out of every foolish thing that they do. You can look at it this way. If you are godly Christian parents, and despite doing the best job that you've done, you still have an alcoholic son, the best thing you can do for him is hand him over to a sin if he's not willing to repent. This means you're not going to pay his traffic tickets. You're not going to bail him out of jail. You're going to let him suffer the consequences of his actions. Now, not the very, very first time, but if it becomes this pattern of living in this way that is this completely ungodly way, it becomes a huge problem if you continue to support that. Now, I'm going to show you some of the Old Testament scripture which illustrates some of the compassion we are talking about here. So the first one is some sundry laws from Leviticus 19. We're going to look at verse 9 and 10. This is dealing with harvesting and reaping. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. All right, so what we're looking at in that circumstance is what we're seeing is a case where God is demanding his people to live in a compassionate way and to live in such a way that strangers or destitute have some means of food. So they could go to any farm field, check around those corners, and get enough food for them to live. Now, this is exactly what we saw happening in Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verse 3, she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she had happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, Boaz was called a kinsman redeemer, had the ability to redeem Naomi from her poverty-stricken situation. But Ruth goes and gleans in the field. Now, Boaz demonstrates even more compassion because the letter of the law said he just had to not restrict her from going into the corners, and she was allowed to pick up anything that anybody had dropped. They weren't allowed to pick up anything they had dropped when they were doing things. That was for the poor and the orphan and the widow. So in verse 15 and 16, Ruth 2, 15 and 16, when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not insult her. So let her go further than she's technically allowed. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it so that she may glean. Do not rebuke her. So Boaz is literally saying, take my harvest and just intentionally throw some of it on the ground so that she has enough food. So Boaz is carrying forth the attitude of the heart that the Christian is supposed to have. And that is really the ultimate purpose of this. The Democratic Party tends to want to force compassion through collecting everybody's things and then giving it back out. The problem is there's so much corruption, they do a very bad job of administering that. And that's why there's ministry watch organizations for Christian ministries to say, if I donate my money, how much of this is actually going to what I'm donating to and how much of it is going towards administrative fees? So you might have an organization that says 85% of what we collect in donations goes to the administrative fees, paying the person running the thing, and only 15% of your project goes to the actual need. Well, that's not what is supposed to happen. What is supposed to happen is each individual person is supposed to have so much compassion. That is how the law was set up. Now, there's another instance here in Leviticus 25, 25 through 28. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor he is set to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relatives have sold. Or, in case a man has no kinsmen redeemers, so he recovers his means as to find sufficient for his redemption, he shall calculate the year since its sale and refund the balance to the man whom he sold it, and so return his property. But if he has not found sufficient means to get it back for himself, what is sold shall remain in the hands of purchaser until the year of Jubilee, but in that year it shall revert back that he may return to his own property. So once again, we see a case where somebody is in down and out situation and they have to sell themselves to pay off some form of debt. Well, if they come back into means, then the Israelites were commanded to give him his property back for the amount of balance minus from Jubilee until the time it was purchased, basically saying, hey, I'm going to buy this back, and he is not allowed to hold the inherited property from him. But that year of Jubilee, all debts are forgiven, everybody's land reverts back to himself. So once again, we have a case where people are supposed to be compassionate, helping one another out. Now, here's where we get the counterfeit issue and where the Democratic Party tends to be, is that the Old Testament was a theocracy. In that theocracy, God is commanding the people to live certain ways. And as God is commanding people live in certain ways, they have to obey this. Well, the Democratic Party is a counterfeit. It is literally like the unholy trinity. You know, you have the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist is a counterfeit of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The mark of the beast, the 666, is a counterfeit for a similar mark that God uses to mark his people. And there's counterfeits all over. And that's the challenge, is that when we have counterfeits, they do a very bad job of doing what we are commanded to do. Whereas the true, honest, biblical Christian, if the state were not pulling so much money, would have so much in his heart to say, I have what I need. I am going to give massive amounts of my money to everybody else still in need. And so what happens is, in the Democratic Party, they want to pull away from everybody, create this socialist nightmare, and then the state wants to redistribute property. But the problem is the corruption at the top ends up stealing the money and doing corrupt things with it, and the people at the bottom still end up suffering. Whereas the people on the right tend to say, yes, we want to help people out. However, the best way to help somebody out is to help them help themselves. And if they are not willing to do that, they need to suffer the consequences of their actions until such time they are ready. This is why 1 Corinthians 5 commands us to hand over the unrepentant sinner over to his sin, that he may repent of his sin, having experienced the consequences thereof. This is why 1 Thessalonians says, he who does not work does not eat, because it is the human responsibility element. So yes, we all have to have compassion on people around us. And that is really what unifies the two parties. The Democratic view says we're going to empower the state to embrace the helping of all of the people, whereas the people on the right say it's the responsibility of the individual people. And the reality is most of these people on the right, if they have the available resources, will tremendously help everybody around them. That's the purpose of the churches, is to help the people in their community, not the state. And this is why half of the world thinks the other half of the world is crazy, no matter which party you are on. Ultimately, it boils down to this. The ultimate gospel is one of human responsibility. We have a commandment to help those around us with our available resources. The challenge is when you have the democratic policies which impoverish people, widen wealth gaps, and gets to the point where most people have a deep compassion and a heart to help other people, have no more resources to do so. While the government has stolen all the resources, and they just do a really bad job of attempting to help other people, and they have bad ideas as to what it actually takes to help other people. Because you're not going to help people by just giving them a lot of food. You need to give them the ability to earn it for themselves, which you can't do if you're constantly robbing them of everything that they have. And this is where this issue comes from, and where the Democratic Party, the compassion in the Democratic Party is really there. They just think it's up to the society to help all the people, whereas a lot of these people just don't want help. And that is where our fundamental problems have to be. So hopefully that is a little bit of insight from the Old Testament bridging into the New Testament. The human responsibility is for us to help take care of people with our available resources, but our available resources run thin when the government steals all of our available resources that we would otherwise be using to help other people. And that really is the issue. Now, there are obviously other confounding factors. We have this highly wasteful, highly consumeristic society that even many people on the right no longer believe in these things either. What do? The best thing we can do is offer up people the help and let them take it. And if they're not willing to take it, the best thing we can do is institutionalization. Otherwise, we have mentally ill people running around causing problems for everybody who's attempting to do their best at living a better life. So there's my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts and the perspectives of the Old Testament, New Testament, and bridging these together. Let me know those thoughts in the comments down below.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.